Blog Talk Radio.
Well, bless the name of the Almighty Creator. Hallelujah. Elohim, Jehovah, the true God, in whom saints, those who are not only set apart and follow his truth, but those who depend on, who trust and believe in the Father by his grace through his beloved Son, Yeshua. I thank the Almighty for today. As the Father sees fit, and as I'm led by the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about his good news. I love his good news. Yes. His good news of even knowing his Son, the Savior of the world, Yeshua, yes, the Messiah. He is the anointed sent one who came to this earth, set the example for his followers to live by. We're his followers. Saints, we're his followers. And he's now seated at the right hand. Ever make an intercession on behalf of us. Those who's listening in, who already has accepted the Messiah as their personal Savior. And guess what? He's going to return for us again. I'm excited about that. I also thank you today, those who called to tune in on Crown Talk and Drums Radio. This early Sunday morning, it's July the 9th. Wow. Already past half of the year. It's just a minute or so after 7 here. However, it may be noon or late at night for someone who's tuning in or listening to this recorded broadcast. You know, they may be listening live or listening to it recorded. Either way, it doesn't matter. I'm just glad you decided to add this broadcast time to your schedule. With all that being said, welcome, yes, to For Such a Time as This Ministry. My name is Sarepta Cunningham. I'm grateful to Elohim. I'm grateful. He is who's given me the opportunity and a willingness to share of his goodness and his faithfulness in this space, really wherever I go, but in this space and in this season of my life. I do not take it for granted that I get to encourage others and myself, yes, with his truth that elevates him and brings the very life of himself to the forefront. Again, I'm just grateful. As it is known, and as we turn on the news and see the TV, it's just so much going on in this world. The crimes, teenage, all kind of crimes going on with the gun violence and then the twisted gay rights and the abortion law, they're twisted too. And just so much homelessness. We see homelessness everywhere. You know, food prices, they're rising, and they're probably going to stay on the rise. Some things may have come down a little bit, but things are just the economy that we're living in. Gas prices up and down, just so much going on, and it seems like there's so much hopelessness all with all this going on. You know, mental instability going on with all ages. From the youngest to older people, it's just like it's more focused on. We see all these disrespects of children disrespecting their parents and the elderly, and not only are they doing that, but they're disrespecting themselves. I mean, it's just so much going on. Division in the families on different levels of division. You can just see chaos. sons against dads and daughters against mothers and vice versa. It's just so much chaos and love family members not even getting along with one another, siblings. I mean, just so much going on. And all these different diseases, yeah, they're still around. COVID's still around. It's still here. You know, all these different diseases and different type of ailments and different stuff they're coming up with and different type of medications they're trying to form, you know, that may cause this side effect. And that, it's just so much going on in this world. We're still seeing earthquakes, tornadoes, fires and floods and wars, rumors of wars, just so much happening. And even with all this, and it seems like it's rising even the more, because guess what? It probably is. The scripture tells us these things will wax worse and worse. So we're prepared. We shouldn't be caught off guard. We just need to continue to pray as believers, as those who's following after the Messiah. And when you hear me say Messiah or Yeshua, I'm talking about Jesus. I'm just calling him by his Hebrew name. Yes. I just love calling him by his real name. So you're going to hear me say that. The name that should have never really got changed. And I'm going to honor that. Yes, I am. But we just have to continue to pray, trust, and take our Heavenly Father, our Elohim, our Yehovah, yes, take him at his word. He still has the final say. I don't care what the battle is. We trust him. We believe him. He still has the final word, and we have to trust him for that. So if ever there was a time for encouragement through his word, and if there ever was a time for fervent prayer in this world today, that time is now. So I hope you have come with your spiritual ears open to hear, your spiritual eyes open to see. You have to hear in order to know what you need to see. Yes. So first and foremost, the Holy Spirit, hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to you and me, so that we can, or that we will, continue to go forth and be effective kingdom citizens, which he's called us, he's anointed us, he's appointed us to be for his kingdom. Hallelujah. I speak his shalom, but we're going to have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for a brand new day that you once again have allowed us to see. Yes, a brand new day, a day of new mercy, where we're not going to get what we may deserve. A brand new day of your grace, where we get what we don't deserve. You're so faithful. We don't take it for granted that you woke us up in the right state of mind that we have. We have the use and activity of our limbs, our senses are at work. We can see and smell and hear and taste and feel. I believe that. I believe those who joined in or who's listening in, that you have those activities in operation. Father, I even want to take time to thank you for our homes. We have a covering. You supplied us with over our head. You are our sole provider, Jehovah. You provide us with all things. And it's by your grace we didn't wake up this morning after having to lay down on a cardboard box or in a tent or even on the ground all night long trying to watch our surroundings in fear of someone maybe coming up to take over us. Take over. We didn't even have the experience where our next bath or meal would possibly come from. We weren't forced to eat out of a garbage can, I don't believe. Father, there's just so many things we can take for granted. So many things. Help us not to. Help us. Hallelujah. And Father, now I ask with your guidance of your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who's indwelling all believers. Hallelujah. Your Holy Spirit. For the saints, through this word, will be elevated in you even more. You are welcome to infiltrate this time as we're in your presence for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Saints, I'm just so filled and honored and humbled because I woke up again. Hallelujah. I get another opportunity to encourage maybe just one person today. And I'm excited about that. I'm grateful for that. The Father didn't have to do it. He didn't have to wake us up. But I'm so glad he did. We all have another opportunity to right a wrong. Hallelujah. To make something right, to do something good in the name of our Father. Even when we're weak, our Father is still strong in us. We want him to remind us that we're never alone. Hallelujah. He's the one giving us the strength to face whatever comes next. It doesn't matter. He's giving us the strength, his love and his compassion. Hallelujah. That he has for us, for people in general. Hallelujah. He gives us the strength to even interact with others. I'm grateful for that. Hallelujah. The word that he's given me and for me to give to you is hope. Hope. And if I were to even come up with a question when you think about hope, and yes, we're going to define it, and you immediately think about it, the definition probably has already come to your mind. But the question that I would like to raise with this hope, you know, because with so much, we talked about so much, even in the introduction, and I bring a lot of those things up because they're happening all around us. And sometimes our eyes can be so focused on them, yes, even as believers, those who's following after the Messiah, who has come to give his life to show us the example and how we ought to live, how we ought to walk, how we ought to talk. Amen. Even with patterning our lives and working on that after him, we can still get caught up and get distracted with all that's going on in this world. It can pull us and suck us in. And there, it seems like there's no hope. But the question I would like to ask you, is your hope on the down low? Is it on the down low? Have you lost hope in whatever you've been believing for? Is it down low right now? Well, if it is, I come to encourage you today to turn it up. Turn up your hope. That's what we're going to talk about. Hope and turning up your hope. As we look at the definition of that word hope, which I'm going to be coming out of the New Testament a lot. But we're going to look at that Greek definition for hope. And the Greek definition, the word itself is elpis, elpis. And the definition coming out of, what is this dictionary, my expository dictionary, it's a strong expository definition. The hope is favorable and confident expectation. That's what hope is. Favorable and confident expectation. Notice we have new graces today, which is favors from the Most High. We get them all the time and we don't even deserve them. Hope in Him gives us that. Favorable and confident expectation. And that hope that we're dealing with in Him, it deals with unforeseen future, things that we don't know what might happen or what might take place, but we're believing for it to be favorable. We have confident expectation in our Creator, hallelujah, knowing that He's done it before, He'll do it again. All throughout the scriptures, we see where He was faithful over and over again, which faithfulness is that action word of faith. And I believe that Greek word for it was pistos. Hallelujah. It's just the act of being faithful, putting it into action. That hope. Yeah, that hope of being, that faith being put in action. And you know, when you talk about hope, you can't do anything but talk about faith. Hope, faith, and love. They all work together. We're going to talk about hope first and foremost, but it takes faith to have that hope. So then if we're going to talk about hope, this is the word. Now, the word for hope was LP. I got a little ahead of myself. Forgive me. I gave you the Greek word for faith just a moment ago in the sentence part of as I was talking about faith at the ending. I mean, I was talking about hope at the ending of hope. But faith, that it has, it does work with hope, is the Greek word pistis. Yes, pistis. Hope was elpis. So, and when you have faith that works with hope, that's firm persuasion, trust. Amen. That is where faithfulness, yes, can come in. That's the action of faithfulness. I got ahead of myself. But that's the action of faithfulness, which the Greek word is pistos. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing me back into order. Yes. Amen. And one thing about those working together, because even when in Corinthians where it talks about love, of all these things that we can have, we know love is the greatest of them all. Without it, we're nothing. We have to have the love of the Father in order to be able to believe Him, to trust Him, to depend on Him. Yes. To hope in Him. We have to have that. So some other things He just reminded me of, and this is just basic introduction of where we're going in the scriptures that we're going to. As believers, there must be faith in faith. Huh? We have to have assurance of why we have assurance. So there must be faith in faith. Not only that, but there must be faith in hope. We have to have an assurance of what we're hoping for. And then to love, it takes faith to love. We have to have and be fully persuaded in the love that we have. How are we going to be able to love our enemies that we're instructed to love? Those who come against us. We see open people those who are coming against us in open fashion, not trying to do it underhandedly, but when we see it done openly, we have to be persuaded that we have love that can help us love that person or that individual or those individuals and pray for them and do good to them in spite of what they're doing to us. It takes faith to have these things, a full persuasion. Faith is nothing but a legal document or a title deed, the substance of having that faith, let's put it that way, is having something with a title deed. Yes, it's a legal document, the substance of having that faith. So if we must have faith and faith in hope and faith in love, it's a must. We should be longing and anticipating to put our trust in things yet to be. Does that make sense? I believe it does. We have to have that anticipation, that expectation. We serve a living Father. His word is alive, it's active, it's full of power. Therefore, we get to decree it and declare it, stand on it, believe it. When I say stand on it, I don't mean put the Bible on the floor and stand on it. I mean stand on the inner of being. Believe what his word says. Most of us know we have a good track record with our Father. He's been faithful to us through the years. Times when we were faithless, he's still been faithful. So why not continue to trust him with things that we can't see yet, with things that we desire? And 9 times out of 10, as believers, as we're praying his word, as we're getting in his presence, we're not going to pray anything amongst our own love because we're praying the will of the Father. He's changing, he's gearing, he's rearranging our thought process. So our thought processes over the years are changing, are beginning to change. Remember, we are new creatures in the Messiah. Therefore, the old thing, we get to the point where we don't do anymore, or we're getting to the process we don't want to do them anymore. So we're still re-gearing our thought processes. Oh, thank you, Father. So if somebody is hopeful, you're going to look on the bright side of things. But see, if we allow this world to keep dictating to us, because it's going to keep dictating, but if we allow it to take precedence over the words of the Most High, then we're going to be hopeless. We're going to be a people with no hope. And there's so many promises that the Messiah gave us to walk in this hope, to have faith and believability, a strong, firm foundation in this faith or in this hope. Yes. This faith of hope that we have. I thank you, Father. I thank you for this hope of faith that you have given us. And we want to walk in it. Hallelujah. So we're going to go to the book of Hebrews. Very familiar passage of scripture. And whoever we know Hebrews, it was mentioned that there probably are several different authors. Paul was probably one. Barnabas was probably one. Normally in the scriptures or throughout in the New Testament, where there's some letters or just some of the writing You know, they were always written and instructed to a certain set of people. And a lot of times the author would introduce who he was, who was talking. We would know at the beginning who was doing the talking. Hebrews didn't open up like that. So there's just been some theologians that's given some gestures or guess of who may have been the authors of the Hebrew book. Anyway, we're going to start and break into that 11th verse. And this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I'm going to be reading mainly from the New King James Version. And then there's another version I have here. I'm not really sure what this one is. But I'm going to kind of read out of it as well. And we're going to start at that first verse, which is the main focal verse. Now, faith. It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that we hope for, that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. That's that first verse. My, my, my. Even though we can't see things up ahead. Men of the Most High, and you're going to possibly, it may say, it's probably, I mean, it may read God, but a lot of times you may hear me say Elohim or Jehovah. I just want to call him by his name. That's who he is. Yes. Men of Elohim in days of old were famous for their faith. See, we have history where we can go back, and of course, they had faith in hope. If you go on throughout the rest of this chapter, Hebrews 11, and I'm sure a lot of us have read it, it talks about the faith, the hope they worked together, that Abraham had, that Sarah had, and then even some of them that died in faith. They had hope and they were believing, and yet they died in that hope, in that faith, as they were believing for things to come to pass. We have a lot that is even in our families that have died hoping, believing to see the outcome of certain things, but they passed on, but yet they died in faith. They die with that hope, that assurance. Hallelujah. That's what it is. Yes, faith is that substance of something that you're hoping for. It's that legal document, that title deed that's already been signed by the Father. Hope keeps it alive. Hope is what keeps our faith alive. That's why there has to be faith in hope. There has to be a trust, a persuasion, firm, that's confident, just as our forefathers had in the remainder of that 11th chapter of Hebrews. Their faith in the hope that they believed in kept them persevering. The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You go down to the 17th verse, it says, by faith, Abraham, he had that hope. He believed, like faith and hope, that he had that hope when he was tested. He offered up his son. He trusted in his heavenly Father, knowing that he would come through. How many of us have our children in our own hands? We're trying to control their every move. We're trying to control their every decision. That's not up to us to do. We don't have that power. we can help gear them, train them up in the way that they should go. You could see the giftings and the talents that they even have in their life. Gear them in those areas with the instructions of the word. Teach them. We talked about this before. Teach them in the instruction and in the commandments of the Father. That's what the Messiah came to do. When he came, when Matthew, Mark, Luke were talking about his walk on this earth, they were giving an account of how he came, teaching and giving the instruction of the commandment. The New Testament wasn't written until all that was given. It was written off of the commandment that the Messiah came to fulfill and live out the example of the commandment that was given at the very beginning. So we don't have the right or the audacity, if I can use that word, to control our children. When they're young, we give them guidance. We nurture them. Sometimes they need discipline through a spanking. We have to spare that rod. Oh, yes, today, if you do that and you do it in public, they call it child abuse. What? That's why so much mess is going on and so much disrespect is happening in this world when it comes to young people. We have to still gear them in the right direction. And as they get older and they still come to us and ask for advice, we don't control them. We give them counseling, wise counsel from the Father. Hallelujah. So here was Abraham. He had that faith and hope. He operated in faith. And his hope was the Father was going to make an intercession. And he did. He believed him with that test. Are we tested right now in some areas? I don't know what may be going on in your life. I know what's going on in mine. I know some tests that I've been, you know, at the first, and when I started seeing what was happening, I may have been failing in a little smidget of it. But I thank the Most High, allowing the Holy Spirit to bring it to my memories what was going on. My spiritual eyes were awakened, and I was able to immediately take authority and say, okay, we got to nip this in the bud and do this a different way. So, and not only that, but we all have different challenges going on in our life, different tests. We're going to always be tested. It's going to always be a trial. But the key is knowing that hope that we have. While we're here on this earth, we have a hope now, and we have a hope for the future. Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for giving us this hope, this confident expectation. Thank you for giving it to us. Sometimes we don't even recognize over the years that what we have. When he brought us through this and he brought us through that and he's taking us through whatever right now. It's all temporary. But we want to endure. As a good soldier, we want to endure the process. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Concerning some things that were to come. See, all these things were by faith. And these right here are dealing with children, these two. Well, the next one too, Jacob. When he was dying, he blessed each one of his sons. Each of his sons of Joseph. And worshiped leaning on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones. Mm. So all these were talking about their children. Isn't that something? Giving still instruction on their deathbed. My husband was doing the same thing. Not only was he giving instructions to me as his wife, he was giving me instructions to share with our son. My, that just came to me. Until the end, and his hope and expectation was trusting that me as a woman and a representation of the Most High Father would do what he asked me to do. And I did just that. Woo! That's a reminder for us. We have to keep hope alive. Who is it? It was someone who said that. I can see his face and his name is not coming to mind. I can see it. Keep hope alive. You better, as a believer, keep hope alive. Keep that favorable and confident expectation alive. We are all expecting some things from the Father. I pray you're not expecting and trying to make it happen in your own strength, because that's going to fail every single time. Every single time. I'm reminded of a brief story that just came to mind as I was in service on yesterday on the Sabbath. And the pastor was sharing a brief testimony about his son. His son, I know he died. I'm not sure if he was killed or what happened, but he talked about how he was, wow, how this is just coming to mind. Thank you, Holy Spirit. How he was controlling his life, things that he was enabling him, which caused a lot of the demise in his son's life. I don't know the full story, at least not as of yet, but I'm sure as I continue to fellowship at the assembly, hallelujah, at the gathering place, the house of Israel, yes, I'm sure that will probably come out. That doesn't matter. The point of the fact he was bringing out, just as we're talking right now, the fact that we cannot control our children. When they're grown, we have to let them make choices. Just pray they make wise choices. As they're getting to the point and growing and maturing in their own man, their own woman, manhood, their own womanhood, we still want to let them know we're there for any advice that the Most High gives us to give to them. Amen. It's a blessing. It's an honor and a privilege. I count it as a blessing, never took it to heart that my son still come to me and ask me for advice. That is a blessing. And I don't give them my opinion. I give them, as I'm listening, I want to hear what the Father would have me say to them. Sometimes it's not just, sometimes I don't give them anything. I listen and I just say, just pray. The Most High is going to give you the answer. The Father is going to give you an answer. And I'm praying right along with you that it will be given to you quickly. You have need of a quick response in that arena because you got some decisions to make, depending on what it is. We have to be so sensitive, saints, when it comes to hearing from our Father. When it comes to giving out instructions to family members, to anyone who we're in contact with, friends, hallelujah, anyone who we're around, if they're asking for our advice, sometimes they just want a listening ear. We don't need to give our opinion, because our opinion is us. Though we have opinions, we have a point of view, and those take place in certain situations and circumstances. But when it comes to sensitive things and advice needs to be given, they don't need our opinion. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know why the Holy Spirit, why he thought of taking it this way, but he did. He did. But the key to all this is for us to turn up our hope if our hope has been on the down low. If we felt we had no hope, if we felt like caving in and quitting, throwing in the towel, giving up. I just want to encourage you, as well as I'm encouraging myself, to keep holding on to, as you hear the cliche, the bloodstained banner of the Messiah. Yeah, he shed his blood for us, but his blood was shed to cover sin. That's why it was shed. Hallelujah. So we have to continue to hold that bloodstained banner up, knowing why he came for us, why he shed his blood for us. Amen. It covers, hallelujah, sin, wrongdoing, sins of this world that's still taking place. His blood has came. It came to cover all that. It covered the sin that we have committed, that we may commit in the future, any wrongdoing. His blood has covered it. It was the final atonement for us. Hallelujah. Don't have to sacrifice and shed any blood of any animals or anything anymore. That's the part of the new covenant we're under, the shedding of his blood. But his commandments we still have to keep. That was never done away with. It's taught that it was, but it was never done away with. All throughout the Torah, the laws, the first five books in the scriptures and the Bible talks about so much of his commands. Then we're reminded in the New Testament, keeping his command. It's repeated over and over. The Messiah, he kept saying, what was he teaching? He was teaching the command. They knew what the laws were. They lived in that time. They knew that they didn't want to comply because they had their own way of doing things. They didn't want to comply. That's why they bucked him so much. He came teaching the law of the Father, the command, what we were to do. And you still got them bucking today. It's still being taught in the pulpits today, taught in the pulpits today. And it's all wrong. A lot of it's being wrongly divided. See, the word has to be rightly divided. The truth. Yes, we're in a time of grace. God's grace has always been here. It's here at the beginning. We're under the grace of the covenant of the Messiah who came to fulfill the old covenant, to fulfill the Father's covenant. That's what we walk in. That's where our hope is. That's where mine is. I want to just know the truth. His word, which is truth. Hallelujah. And I want to walk in it. Don't you? I want to honor what his word says. I haven't always done that fully. I thought I was doing it fully. But I'm rehearing. He's rehearing me. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Now, those who died in this faith, who knew of this law, they knew all this. They knew what was being taught. And see, the New Testament is just the history and the recording of what the Messiah taught. The law. Oh, my, thank you, Father. We have a hope in this word, in
this covenant. And I'm so glad we have this substance, this assurance. It's a promise. We have so many promises. We can read throughout the scriptures the promises he left behind for us. The witnesses that the forefathers had, the patriarchs, how they lived it, how they walked it. Some of them failed. Some of them didn't see the full promise. But they still had that hope that it was going to take place in what they had the hope in who and what they believed. My. Look at Sarah. She laughed when they told her she was going to have a child in her old age. But guess what? I bet by the end she had faith because she conceived and she delivered. So you know that hope had turned her. I mean, that laughter turned around into reality. Oh, an expectation, the promise that came. All of us are in expectation of some things. I know I'm in expectation of a whole lot of things. I'm just believing the Father. I'm believing the Father. And you know one thing that blessed me so? As I was talking to, I talked to three of my four sons on yesterday. Yeah, I have four. I have some inherited sons within the midst, and I love it. I'm grateful. I talked to three of them on yesterday. And all three of them were talking about Jehovah. I'm grateful for the belief and their faith that they have been talking about anyway. Even the youngest, who's 22. The youngest, almost 23, but he's 22. And his faith is there. He's always had these questions about why is he has an understanding of why are we today not keeping the covenant? What's wrong with them taking it away and teaching it in these churches? He has these questions. And the Father is giving him answers. I'm so grateful. I said, son, stay in the presence. Stay in the presence of the Father. He's going to give you every answer you need. And he's giving him every answer. And he still has more questions. So he's going to continue to give them every answer. But that's just a blessing. That your children, you even see them learning that truth of the truth. Because it's the truth either way. From Genesis to Revelation, this is the truth. It just needs to be continuously rightly divided. We're talking about hope. Where is our hope? Is your hope on the down low? I just came to encourage us. So even in that 12th, I'm going to go to the 12th chapter of Hebrews before we move on. And this wasn't part of something I had wrote down, but I just want to read it. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, like I said, read that 11th chapter in its entirety. And it's a reason that this is there for. Yes. Is there for that reason. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, takes us back, traps us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We're in a race. Looking unto Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of Jehovah, our Most High, our God. Ha! My. That's powerful. So we are surrounded with all these witnesses. Our hope must work. Our hope must endure even to the end. Has some we can read in Hebrews
even to the end. They were believing. They were speaking a blessing. Hope is the happy or the joyous anticipation of good. That's how that Greek word breaks it down. It's the happy anticipation of good. That's what we expect. Even with all this evil and bad that's going on in this world, our hope is in our Messiah. That's who we're patterning our lives after, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. That's who we're patterning our lives after. Him alone. His example has already been set. What he taught, his father gave him to teach. Who is his father? Jehovah, the Most High. That's his father. So whose will do we want to do? Our Father's will. We have been engrafted in, adopted into this royal family. And we get to follow and pattern our lives after, yes, our big brother, Yeshua. My. We have to look at his example. But we can't do away with the other example, because that's what he patterned, that covenant, those commandments. He patterned. And a lot of times you hear, and I have read this too, in the Mosaic, they call it the Mosaic law. Them was not Moses' laws. Those laws were given to him by the Father, by God, the Father. He gave him those instructions through and wrote it, had him to engrave it on the tablet. They were not his law. So if our Father, if he is the same yesterday, today, forevermore, and he's not changed, why are we changing what he came to implement? And then the Messiah came and walked out his instruction of the old covenant. There's no changing. I don't care what a few of the scriptures that Paul or somebody may have given their opinion at one time. Some of the Jews came to give the Pharisees, that all of them, the Jewish leaders, they came to give their opinion at times, saying we're no longer under the law. We're no longer under the law. Yeah, the law of sin. We're no longer under the law of sin. But grace, it's so much that's gotten twisted. And instead of us coming home, a lot of us, and studying for ourselves to see what the scripture is really saying, we're taking that word that's coming across that pulpit, and that's it. I've always been ever since I was got saved, I would go back and cross-reference and study. I'm like, wait a minute. They didn't say all that. That means this too. They forgot about this part. I used to always do that, and I always had questions. I guess they would say, this girl needs to be quiet. So I had to always go to my father with the question. So I'm grateful that he brought me up to this point where I am today. I'm grateful that he's bringing you up to the point where you are today. All of our lives are process, are change in motion, being transformed, I pray, from the inside out. Transformation should be taking place in our lives every day, as believers. That's where our hope is. Amen. Let us go to the book of Romans. You know what? I was just thinking about that title deed as I'm flipping over to Romans 15. I was thinking about that title deed, and it just came to my mind when you think about a title deed or that substance that you have, that title deed, that legal document. I think the Amplified, I don't have it before me, but it even talks about that being a title deed, the insurance. So it makes sense, even when I was looking up some of these words and definitions, that's what it was saying, a title deed.
substance, you know, when it pertains to the scriptures, because I was looking them up and cross-referencing in the Strong's, in the dictionary that I have. So I was like, this title deed, when you think about it as an object, it means it's been signed. It's a signed contract. It belongs to you. And nobody, nothing can snatch it away. Even as a title deed in the natural, it's protected by the law. When you have a title deed to something, a mortgage, title deed to a vehicle, it's yours. It's been signed over by law, natural law. And then, too, that throws me off. Because as believers, you're hearing, well, we gotta abide by the laws of the land. What about the laws of the Father that he gave in the Old Testament? We want to leave some of them out. We can't. We're abiding by these laws of the land, the governing laws of this land. But I'm just so happy that this hope, this faith in hope that we have of what we're believing for, there's a title deed. Nothing can take it away. Nothing. No one. It's a title deed. Get that in your spirit. Chew on it. Eat on it. Don't spit it out. Swallow it. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Father, for your word and how you're breaking it down to us, to me. Hallelujah. Romans 15. I'm just going to break into the 15th chapter, and I just want to read the 13th verse. This is nothing but glorifying Elohim, but maybe I'll back up just a little bit. Talks about bearing others' burdens and then glorifying, giving all the glory to the Father. So I'm going to break into that 7th verse. It says, therefore receive one another, just as Yeshua also received us, Messiah, to the glory of Elohim. Now I say that Yeshua, Messiah, has become, talking about Jesus Christ. I'm not sure if you heard me at the beginning, but I'm using the Hebrew name, has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of Elohim, to confirm the promises made to the Father. And that the Gentiles, the heathen, which we once were, might glorify Elohim for his mercy, as it is written. For this reason, I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Again, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Telling the heathens to rejoice with the people of the Most High. And again, praise Yahweh, all ye Gentiles. Laud him, all you people. Praise him. Rejoice. Praise him. Praise him. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. Who are we hoping in? Who is this that was already, this scripture was re-reminded from something Isaiah had said. It was brought back in to the scripture. See, this is how this was left. These books were written, even in Romans, this was Paul's writing. He was writing what had already been stated under the covenant. This was something Isaiah had said. Who was reigned over the Gentiles? Who is reigning over the Gentiles, which we fell under that category as he who was born in sin, shaped in iniquity? Anyone who's not doing the will of the Father is a heathen. But in him, the Gentiles, those who don't even believe yet, shall hope. Now,
Hallelujah. That 13th verse. May the Elohim of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Woo! May Elohim of your hope so fill you with all joy. I want my hope to be running over. That's what this passage is telling us, that our hope should be running over. This is what Paul, it's like a prayer here. That our joy would be running over. Our joy and our peace in believing. And we're believing in the faith and the experience. I think the Amplified Bible, I think it talks about through the experience of your faith. I kind of remember that one. You want to be so full of joy and peace in your believing through the experience of your faith that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound. That's abundance. And be overflowing. That's abundance. Even the more. Bubbling over with hope. With confidence, expectation. Happy anticipation of good. That's what I want to be. Running over with hope. Do you? That's why I asked that question. Is your hope on the down low? I'm coming here to encourage us to turn it up. Turn up our hope to abounding. This prayer here, or these words of encouragement, I want to give to you, just like Paul was giving back then over 2,000 years or how many ever years it was ago. He was encouraging the Romans. Something was going on. They needed that encouragement. Something was going on. It was always instructions given out. Something's going on in our lives. Something. We need some hope. We need that hope to be overflowing, bubbling over. My. I want to be in a place where as I'm seeking the face of my Father, he's placing dreams and hopes. And he said he would give us witty inventions and bright ideas and create things in us. He gives us creativity. You know, I want to have those hopes and dreams. I want to see them come to pass. Or I want to pass them down and maybe someone else pick up the baton from, you know, from my lineage. Pick up the baton of that and go forward if I'm still hoping in it as I pass on. I want to be able to leave behind a legacy. You know, we talk about leaving generational wealth to our family. That's what they were talking about in Hebrews, some of them. They were leaving inheritances to their children and their children's children. So we're talking about that part of the covenant and the old covenant and the commands of the Father, how he said we should do different things and those examples. We should still be living and preparing our lives that way. Some of us don't even have life insurance. Some of us don't even have insurance where we have burial plots and different things preparing so that bird won't be on the family that's left behind. They're already going to be dealing with the grieving of the passing. So, you know, when we pass on it and we have him and we go to sleep in him, there should be rejoicing. We know that natural part of us admits their presence naturally. But the rejoicing part has believers that they were in the faith. Hallelujah. Just as those in Hebrews die in the faith. Hope, believing, still believing and trusting. I don't want to be building a dream on my own marriage. I don't want to be trying to pursue a goal and the Father's not in it. I don't. I want him to be in everything that I do, in every decision that I make. I don't want to make it on my own account. You know, sometimes you want to take a risk and get out there so far that he's out there with you. And you can't come back unless he brings you back. Keeping him always at the forefront because it's always about him. Hallelujah. It's always about him. I remember these words. This was something that I'm going to call his name out. I'm not sure. Well, he probably not listening anyway, but his name is Raymond Wilson. He used to say these words some years back. Crazy faith. I stand up on the upside down on my head till I believe that crazy faith. I believe it to come to pass. I remember he used to say that. And I used to laugh, but I was laughing in agreement because of the way he would say it. It wasn't laughing at him. It was laughing with rejoicing with him, believing with him. We got to have that, saint. Hallelujah. That faith, that hope, that expectation. Faith and hope. My. Sometimes we don't think like this because a lot of times in our own mouth we say, well, I don't want to fail. I don't want to, you know, fall short. I don't want to, you know, you get scared, fear. Opposite of faith is fear. You don't want to step out there and make that risk. That's all this life is that when we go out there and get in a vehicle and drive down the road, we're taking a risk with our life. It takes faith. We're hoping. Faith and hope. We're going to get to our destination. That's what we're expecting. Fear of failure is a dangerous thing. Don't let fear dominate. Don't let it dominate you. I don't want it to dominate me. There's been some things I've had like a little fear or step back about, but I've been bringing it to the Father. Bringing it to the Father. I don't want that to dominate me. I don't want it to control me. Yeah, it was like the enemy was using. One time I was having a bunch of critters around my house and things. I was experiencing that kind of stuff. And fear tried to come in. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Fear don't live here. You got to go. I got authority over them little creatures. They don't have no right to come in and put fear in my heart. They're not my father. They're not my daddy. My Abba. They have no rights. And as soon as I began to do that, they start eliminating. As all those different appearances were, you know. And something may pop up now to test me. That's okay. I got authority over that. You know what? Our Father is so good. He's good to us. He's so faithful to us. We can't let anything dominate and take control in our mind, our mental faculties of thinking. Because that's where the enemy starts working. We know he starts in the mind. That's why we're instructed to renew our mind. So we won't be transformed, so we won't be conformed. We have to renew our mind with his word. Amen. I tell you, the only way that fear can be counteracted is with hope. Your hope. The hope that we have. Get along with the Father continuously. I'm not saying you're not. Continuously. Get along. If you haven't been, get alone in his presence. Sit in his presence. Begin to meditate on his promises. Get them down in your spirit. Don't just talk them out.
Walk them out. Let them become active, because that's what his word is. It's alive. It's active. That's why we got to keep, and his word gives us that hope that will starve the fear, which is the opposite of the faith in that hope, that assurance that we have, that confident expectation. I want to continue to keep my confident expectation in my Heavenly Father. We all, I'm sure, can look back over our lives and see his faithfulness, where he's always come through. Sometimes he didn't answer the way we thought, but he still remained faithful in coming through. He doesn't change. Sometimes we have to stand on that particular situation with those promises until he gives us a clarity and a peace. A lot of times with that clarity, you don't know how he's going to do it, but he gives you a clarity and peace and knowing he got it. Then you don't have to pick it up no more, because you've still been picking it up. You've still been messing with it. Still been trying to help the Father out. Put it down. Totally put it in his hands. And when you get that down in your spirit, the promise of what he said concerning that matter, nothing can shake it, can take it out of you, because it's in you, like he's in you. He's the hope of glory. He's the hope and the anchor of our soul. The scripture tells us that in Hebrews. That's in Hebrews 6:19. He's the hope, the anchor of our soul. Our soulish realm, when you think about it, is our mind, our will, and our emotions. He comes to help gear those in the right areas, our thought processes, the will to his will, our emotions, so we won't act out of our emotions or react out of our emotions. We'll be able to be constant and steady. Amen. That's what it's all about. Not only that, but with the closing passage of scripture in Romans, we're talking about the hope of what he's doing now and the assurance of what's going on, all that may be going on in our lives now. But we want to go to Romans 8. Yes. Back up to Romans, because we just were in Romans 15. We're going to back on up to Romans 8. And we're going to start, and we know, as Paul talked, even in the earlier part of Romans, he talked about, you know, in his flesh there dwelt no good thing. And it's the same in us. In our flesh, there's no good thing dwells. That's why we need to allow our spirit to take over. Amen. As the Father, as the Holy Spirit communes with our spirit. Let's start at the 18th verse. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to compare with the glory which shall be revealed. This is Romans 8:18. In us, that shall, which shall be revealed. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of Elohim, Yehovah. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of Elohim. Whew, it doesn't matter. Paul can relate. While Paul was going through, he was beaten. He was, you know, tortured. He was shipwrecked. Now, I mean, different things he's dealing with, we have to deal with that. We're not dealing with those type things. But he was still yet encouraging even them, and we're encouraged today. Whatever our current season of suffering may be, I don't know what it may be you may be dealing with within your family, within yourself, your family, or what it is. He's just encouraging us in whatever season of suffering that we're in, our hope of who we expect then is worth waiting for. When the Father returns and brings us into his presence, we will be perfect then and made whole. We live in one reality in this life. And all that reality includes suffering and grief. But here, we're seeing here that Paul is sharing that the Father's going to come back. He's going to return and complete the work he began. He started it with Messiah. He took him away, sent us back to comfort us, to help us. The Messiah is the pattern who we're to pattern our lives after. Yeshua, Messiah, or Jesus Christ. That's who we're patterning our lives after. But it's not over yet. There's still some fulfillment to be done. The Father's bringing everything back to his original plan. For the fallen man. He's bringing it back. My. He's coming back for us, the new kingdom that's going to be set up. Oh, that's why he wants us to be doing his will now on earth, as it's already being done in heaven. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can we imagine what's going on in the heavenly? No, we don't know. But he's setting up his new kingdom on this earth. He's going to set up a new kingdom, a new heaven, a new earth. Not going to be any more tears, no more pain. Revelation tells us that. No more tears. No more pain or sickness. No more none of that. When we join him, we will be perfected and made whole. And this is what he's encouraging. For the whole creation groans and labors with birth pain together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So we have this hope in earthen vessels. Hallelujah. Yes, we do. That hope, the Father, he's living in us. By the person of the Holy Spirit. He's living in us. He makes his abode in us. That's not why he's with us everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, he's with us. Our hope in where we are now, whatever's going on now, needs to remain, must remain in him. We must continue to have faith in hope, and faith in love. That's what it's all about. It's a good practice to keep on hoping until hope creates what's hoped for. Don't you think that's a good practice? Is it a good practice? I guess I'm asking a question, yeah. Is it a good practice to keep on hoping until hope creates whatever it is that's hoped for? I would say yes. I would think that would be your answer too. Because we're going to have victory regardless. Victory now, victory in the end, victory all the way around when our hope is in the Father and in what his word says. We're trusting after where our hope is in the Father through the Son. And we're trusting every word that's written, that we take hold of, that pertains to our situations and circumstances. He's going to give us peace in it as we meditate on it. And he's going to bring that hope to pass, that expectation that we're believing for him to do. Some of us are believing him for a divine miracle. We're expecting to see it come to pass. Our hope and expectation is in that. Even when my husband started sharing with me, and I don't care whether with someone who is living in the faith, who's patterning their lives after the Messiah, I believe us as well. I believe when the Father is nugging you and you're ready to go home. My husband got to the point where he was satisfied. Psalm 91 talks about living a long, satisfied life. He was tired of the fight. He didn't want to fight anymore. And he said, baby, I'm ready to go home. He knew how I was quoting the scriptures. He set me down. He said, come on, baby, I'm serious. We need to have a talk. He said, I know I don't want you to be quoting no scriptures and talking the word. We know the word is true. He was explaining all that ahead of time. But he said, I'm ready to go home. That's all it took for me to have the preparedness that I needed to have. Yet I still was hoping for a miracle. Even with that, I was hoping for a miracle. But one thing, I always knew this, and I came to learn even the more. Our Father is so loving, He won't go against our will. He's so loving with His arms always wide open for us to come in and accept His, believe in Him, accept His Son, believe that He came into this world as our personal Savior. Hallelujah. And then He went away and sent us back the Comforter. Even with all that, and we don't trust Him in areas, He's not going to force us. He's not going to come against our will, the will that we willed. My husband willed to exit on up out of here. Father wasn't going to come against that. He apparently said, I'm satisfied. The scriptures say out in Psalms, I will satisfy you with long life and show you my salvation. Well, my husband got to the point, he was 67. I guess he felt that was long life for him. He was satisfied. He was ready to go. But the key ingredient for us is knowing that we have that hope. Who we have that hope in, that confident expectation, is not in our own strength. It's all in His. So I would encourage you to continue to go before the Father. Continue to be that dreamer. Hallelujah. Turn up the hope. Allow Him to give you divine dreams, insights, expectations to what He wants you to do, what He might want you to leave behind as a legacy. You may be already working on that. Make sure you're getting your instructions from Him, not yourself, not in your own strength. That's encouragement to you, to me today. I have a lot of things on the table, and I'm trying to juggle them out, put them in a different right category, but I need His help. You may have a lot of things on the table, a lot of decisions you need to make. Keep Him at the forefront of what you're expecting, what you're hoping for. Because our expectation should always be in Him. It's that inner image that's bigger than us. And the reason why it's bigger than us, because when we trust Him, it's built on Him and His promises. My. Thank you, Father. I pray today's word encouraged you to turn up your hope if it's been on the down low. Because the first initial question was, is your hope on the down low? If so, turn up the hope. Turn your hope up. Amen. And we know who and where our hope resides. It's in our Creator. I'm going to unmute the line if there's a comment or a prayer request. We have a few minutes left. You can give it at this time, or we'll just close out with prayer. Amen. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you. You are our Heavenly Father. We thank you for meeting us in this space. We thank you for meeting us at this time. We thank you for encouraging us, even the more, to continue to keep fighting this good fight of faith. It is a good fight. It may get tested and along the way, along the journey, but our hope, hallelujah, our hope is remaining in you. We want to keep hope alive, yes, in our lives, trusting in you, being confident with expectation of you to continue to move in and on our behalf. Now, as we go about this day, Father, we just ask that you continue to keep us and our family members, anyone connected to us in any kind of way. We pray that you grant us your travels of mercy, whatever method of transportation it is, as we begin this new week. Hallelujah. We thank you for, you know what's going to take place this week. And we thank you for your leading, your guiding through the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Teach us. Guide us. And we will be led. We will be spoken to. We will be taught. We thank you for that. You are our ultimate teacher. We thank you for the teachers that you put before us. But help us to continue to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, ha, a workman that need not be ashamed, but be able to rightly divide your word. Thank you for it. In the name of your son, Yeshua, we thank you. Amen, amen. And to you, Father, be all glory. I speak his shalom, his peace unto you.